Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. Anchorage Republican Representative Gabrielle Ledoux has jumped to a substantial lead over her primary challenger after an initial count of absentee ballots yesterday. Alaska Public Media reports that Ledoux got 142 absentee votes compared to 33 for her opponent, Aaron Weaver. The two candidates were separated by just 3 votes heading into yesterday's absentee count. The absentee results give Ledoux what appears to be an insurmountable lead of 113 votes. The race for the East Anchorage State House seat has been closely watched. That's partly because Ledoux decided to take a leadership position 2 years ago in the House's mostly Democratic majority coalition. Alaska Republican Party leaders were furious with Ledoux and campaigned for her defeat in last week's primary. Now they say they want to find someone to run a write-in campaign against her. Also yesterday, state elections officials counted absentee ballots in 2 other closely contested legislative races, both on the Kenai Peninsula. In one of them, Senate Majority Leader Peter Michicki, a Republican from Soldotna, appears to have an insurmountable lead over challenger Ron Gillum. In a separate Kenai Peninsula GOP House primary, Ben Carpenter, a peony farmer and longtime member of the Alaska Army National Guard, held a narrow lead over Wayne Ogle, the president of the Kenai Peninsula Borough Assembly. Yesterday's count isn't the last one. Absentee ballots can continue to come in until the 10th day after the election, which is later this week. The Interior Gas Utility anticipates being able to supply an additional 2,600 residential customers within 2 years, more than doubling its current customer base. The new customers will be along distribution lines installed in North Pole in 2015. IGU President and CEO Dan Britton says the service start date hinges on construction of a new liquefied natural gas storage tank.
Provided we are successful with completing the storage facility in North Pole in our desired schedule, it would be the beginning of 2020.
That's Britton speaking to a Fairbanks Economic Development Corporation group yesterday. Britton says the North Pole storage tank and a similar one well under construction in Fairbanks will allow stockpiling of gas produced at its Cook Inlet LNG plant. He says banking gas in the summer when demand is low will also reduce the urgency of finding an additional gas source as the local customer base expands.
It gives us a little breathing room on needing the new LNG supply source to continue that growth that everybody wants to see.
Looking to the future when local demand outstrips storage capacity, Britton says the IGU is considering expanding its own LNG plant or buying gas from Siemens and Knik-Ohtnu corporations, which have proposed building a new South Central LNG production facility.
We'll get to a point where we have an analysis of the options that look at the benefits, pros and cons of each.
Committing to either in-house expansion or the outsourcing of gas is a major decision for the IGU, but one of many hurdles the Interior Energy Project has cleared. Britton offered some perspective.
What we have is a community-owned gas utility, community-driven project to bring additional natural gas supplies to more people with the goal of improving economics and improving our air quality. It doesn't get much better than that.
The success of the project ultimately hinges on local demand, which depends on the cost of competing fuels, primarily oil. Britton also addressed the cost of consumers converting from wood and oil-fired heaters to natural gas-fueled units, noting that a range of aid programs are being explored, from federal grant assistance to on-bill financing through the IGU. A group of Fairbanks area high school students spent a week excavating artifacts near Quartz Lake as part of a University of Alaska Fairbanks summer program. KUAC's Tim Ellis reports.
What's going on here? What are you doing?
I'm looking for stuff in the dirt.
Hutchison High School ninth grader Eleanor Panamarov takes a break from excavating at an archaeological site just off the northern shore of Quartz Lake to explain why she's spending 2 weeks of her summer vacation digging in the dirt looking for bits of bone and other artifacts.
My mom was an archaeologist, and so I kind of wanted to follow in her footsteps a little bit, and so far it's been pretty fun.
Debrana Beeler is an Eielson High School freshman who worked with Panamarov and a couple of other high schoolers at the dig. Beeler says she signed up for the Alaska Summer Research Academy, or ASRA, Archaeology Instructional Module because she wants a well-rounded education.
I'm not really that into archaeology. I want to be a lawyer, but like a lot of other things could be cool to like look at, you know, to like broaden your expertise on like everything, so you know just like a little bit about everything.
Trinity Franz is a junior at West Valley High School who wants to be a veterinarian, and she says she took the two-week archaeology course that includes a week of fieldwork to learn about other science-related occupations.
I'm typically usually more interested in animal-like things, but at this young age where you're starting to decide college and kind of think about your future career, I wanted to get more experience with other careers.
And Brian Johnson is another West Valley student who's been involved with ASRA for a couple of years. He actually wants to be an archaeologist, and he's already landed a job at the university's Museum of the North that pays him to work in the field he loves.
I'm just working there over the summer, sorting and organizing artifacts in the range where we keep all our artifacts and everything, making sure it's all squared away and everything's in the database online.
That's the goal of ASRA's hands-on science, technology, engineering, and math-related instruction, says Program Director Krista Mulder, a professor of plant ecology at UAF.
The group that went to Quartz Lake, for example, they got to spend about 8 days out at the lake learning what a dig is really like, the whole process that archaeologists go through, what they actually do.
Mulder says the program offers courses that help middle schoolers and high schoolers start thinking about possible careers in science and technology.
It's a really great way to figure out whether you are really genuinely interested in an area of science or not.
Mulder says students interested in next summer's offerings should go to the ASRA page on the UAF website and read up on the program. She says registration will begin February 1st. Reporting from Delta Junction, I'm Tim Ellis.
Bethel residents crowded into the town's cultural center last night to attend a reading with the National Poet Laureate. KYUK's Teresa Katsourilis reports.
Tracy K. Smith has spent the past year traveling to remote communities and engaging residents in conversations about the role art plays in their lives. Bethel was her first stop in Alaska.
I'm hoping to find a practical vocabulary for compassion, which I think is also a beautiful goal.
Smith's poetry explores the impact of racial injustice and poverty in American life. Her writing also fixates on smaller, more private moments, like an ordinary conversation with her young daughter.
She wants bread toasted with no skin and enough butter to write her name in, or a bowl of cereal, but not the noisy kind.
After reading excerpts from her own work, Smith read several poems from her recent anthology, American Journal, a collection of 50 poems by American poets which convey all sorts of different perspectives on American life. Those who attended the readings were greeted by representatives from the Library of Congress, who handed out free advance copies of the book at the door. The room was packed with Bethel High School students, educators, and parents, and Smith's reading quickly turned into an informal discussion of the imagery at work in several of the anthology's poems.
Creating the kinds of quiet, thoughtful conversations that I think poetry fosters in across, you know, the urban-rural divide would be one way of pushing back against this notion that we have nothing to say to each other, that we speak two different languages.
The Library of Congress quickly ran out of copies of Smith's anthology. It will hit bookstores on September 4th. In Bethel, I'm Teresa Katsourilis.
And I'm Dan Bross.